afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Snakey Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Long dick, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Little children, please stay away from drugs. Drugs is no good for you, to you.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 602 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Simulcast all over this great nation on NBC Sports Boston. And let's get to it. By the way, Fred not in. His last day of vacation. Hardy in studio with me.
Yeah. By the way, was that the father? Do you remember Hoop Dreams, Wallach? You remember the movie
Yes,
Hoop Dreams?
Yes, great movie.
And the father who's like in and out of the picture throughout the movie. At one point, there's a scene of him in church where he's kind of testifying through song, and he's singing, "I want to thank you, Lord, for protecting my family."
We're just making the words up.
That's what the stay away from drugs guy might be him, and it's also that same songwriting methodology. Thank you. Where you write the lyrics as you're singing the song.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's just called BSing it.
Yes. Every time I hear that, I think of Coming to America and Sexual Chocolate. That
was
Arsenio Hall.
No, that was written. That was written ahead of time.
Yeah, okay.
That was full on.
Sorry,
that was pre-planned.
Yeah. Sorry.
We have something I just quickly want to discuss because I want to get it out, get it over with, because this is something that every once in a while I'll mention the show and I'll have, you know, people tweet me and yell at me and saying that I'm out of touch. How do I not know about this?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what the hell's going on with the Overwatch League.
I don't want to talk about it. I lost a ton of money on that. <last night. laughs> Not in the mood.
All right.
Overwatch League.
Okay, I seriously will leave the studio if you guys go there because the way it ended.
Yeah.
Last night was tough, difficult.
Was it a bad beat? Was it a bad beat?
Shut out.
Yes,
last
it
night.
Was. Okay. Thank you, Rich. That's exactly what it was.
The spread was 2 and they lost 4-0. Yeah. I know. It's very difficult.
4 zillion, whatever the Mario coins.
Right.
Or whatever you remember. Listen, I'm not going to be the guy that I find that stuff interesting. I do.
Yes.
And I've, matter of fact, this is coming from someone who wanted to go down to the castle a couple of months ago when they had the giant Street Fighter tournament. To me, I was like, okay, that sounds interesting. Street Fighter is also a game that I understand.
Yep.
Like, it's one guy versus another guy beating each other up.
Right.
You know the moves? You know, these games like that have been around ever since pro wrestling was on the NES. This is something that I get that. The Overwatch League is apparently enormous because a couple of weeks ago, they did something at the Aganis Arena.
Yep.
And, I mean, I know they put money into it because there was sure enough a stage that looked like something out of The Running Man. I mean, there were like flames and fire and pyro.
There are 12 teams in the Overwatch League. Boston has one of them.
Okay.
The Overwatch League, the video game is Overwatch.
Okay, so once again, this is if you have literally no idea what we're talking about, this is a professional league for people who play video games for a living.
Yes.
There's big money involved in it. This, as far as the backers of this, as far as if you are a pro in this, you make tons of money. We know that there's a lot of money to be made just by people who play these games well and go on the internet. I personally know a guy who has started a company that's doing really well where they train people. Like, people pay him. He's like a professional coach. For a baseball guy, like a guy who goes and you hire to make your game better, except he does it for video games. And he gets these superstars of the gaming industry to sit down with him and help write how-to manuals, and he makes money off of that. So there's big money. It's a big industry. I don't know where any of this is going on.
All right.
Okay. So
I've gotten a quick tutorial over the last couple of months.
What's the name of the Boston team?
The Uprising.
Okay. They're called the Boston Uprising.
Correct.
Where do they play in
Boston?
They
don't play in Boston.
Then
right?
Why is there a Boston team?
All the teams play in L.A. at the old Tonight Show studio. Now that the Tonight Show is being broadcast out of New York, there's that big studio in L.A. that was sitting vacant. So it's a 450-seat studio. All the video games, all the matches are held in that Tonight Show studio
okay.
for this season.
So is this like the movie The Wizard with Fred Savage, where there's a ton of people that just show up and cheer on people sitting in front of a TV screen?
Apparently, yes.
Okay. All right. Once again, I understand it. I get that part of it. Mm-hmm. There is something exciting if you're really into one of those games and seeing someone who can do it extremely well. I've watched that video of the dude beating Super Mario Brothers with a blindfold on probably twice.
Right.
In its entirety. It's amazing. That I get it.
Some of the highest ratings this studio has ever earned was when Robbie Roadsteamer used to come in here and play RBI baseball
really?
On the 8-bit Nintendo.
I had no
with
idea.
His back turned to the TV
really?
Against listeners who would come in, and he would play the game literally blind.
Wow.
He would not look at it. He could do it. So yes, there's an audience for this, even if it's just the audio. People
yes.
will. Tune in
is
for this.
Is there a Radio Overwatch radio broadcast where someone does play-by-play of guys playing the video games?
There is. It is broadcasted live on Twitch, I believe, but I don't think it's radio.
Because how great would that be? If you had somebody like how would you call that?
I have no idea.
Oh,
I wouldn't even begin to know how to do
I'm
that.
I'm trying to learn more, but all of the websites are blocked here in the studio.
Yes, that's
because
true. You have to be creative. That's right.
Right. They're blocked.
Because when I first started trying to figure out information about this, I ran into the same problem you did.
The company servers view this as a gaming site.
Sure.
Stop playing video games and get back to work.
Okay, once again, so the crafts are the money behind the Boston team, right?
Yes.
Like just like the Revolution and the mm-hmm. Patriots, they own the what's the name
Boston
of the team?
Uprising.
The Boston Uprising. How much money do those guys make?
I think
it's a base salary of $50,000 per year for the players.
Oh, that's not good.
Healthcare, retirement, housing provided during the season, which is from January 10th to June 16th postseason. Runs from June 17 to July 28. So they get essentially everything taken care of for 6 months in terms of, you know, where you live and your day-to-day, $50,000. There's two divisions, six teams each, and
they don't play anywhere in Boston.
$3.5 million in performance bonuses in this first season.
Okay, so as I was saying, let me correct myself.
Very good.
I said that's not good money. That's good money, mm-hmm. but not what I expected. I thought there was like millions upon millions of dollars behind this, and I thought the superstars made a lot.
They're trying to figure out if this will take. This
okay.
is the first season. There are 4 5-week stages. So we just finished stage one a couple of weeks ago. There's a break. We just began stage two, the second 5-week block last night.
If I want to see the Boston Uprising play, how the hell do I do that?
You go online. There's a streaming thing where you can
watch. Okay, so you just have to watch it online.
Yes.
There's no now, is there eventually going to be a home field advantage? Home console advantage? Like, is there going to be a place in Boston where they play?
Yes, but I think they play remotely. I don't think you have both teams in the same room. I think the Boston team will actually play in Boston starting next year.
Tell me you would not pay Hardy to go see, like, an old-school Hesher video game.
Oh,
league.
I would. Okay.
Like with Billy Mitchell and all those guys, like the King of Kong.
This is exactly why, you know, we get accused of like ageism in this thing. And it's a 100% accurate accusation because I've sat down and watched King of Kong on more than one occasion.
It's the best documentary, and I'm not speaking hyperbole. I've said that 1,000 times. It's my favorite documentary.
And
it's about a guy who goes up against this dude who from the 80s had the highest score in Donkey Kong and is like the best villain, one of the best villains in movie history,
yeah.
Billy Mitchell.
Yeah, it's great, and sat there and watched that, and you love the gaming aspects of that movie. I would sit down and watch like a top level Galaga player.
Hell yeah.
Just oh my god, he's got the double ships. Careful.
If only to get tips, man. That's my favorite.
Right, yeah.
I love Galaga.
So from that aspect, yeah, I would do it. The only reason why I won't do it with this is because I don't know anything about Overwatch.
Sure.
And something tells me that the people who are into this don't even have to be that much about Overwatch, because some of the tactics that are used and some of the things that these guys do will carry over from, are they all single person shooter games? Are they all?
I think most of them are. Yeah, okay. I think most of them are single person shooters.
You know, to go back to the last one I played was Doom. You know,
yeah, I used to play Doom in college too. Like Doom was one of those games where when it first came, like when it first came out, I would sit down and I would start playing it, and I would look down and realize that 8 hours of my life had gone by.
Right,
like you just got sucked up into it and completely lost in the game. And at some point, you're just like, I gotta stop doing this. And I had like the God mode codes and all that stuff, so I just couldn't be stopped. So let me ask you this: if your life depended on it, and you knew that you would perish if you couldn't beat three random people on the street in one video game, what video game would you choose?
Great question, Rich. Oh, these are the questions that will haunt this court for many, many years to come. I would... Well, I mentioned Galaga. I used to have a Galaga machine in my house. So I owned a Galaga machine, pretty damn good at Galaga.
Okay.
I think I can hold my... I don't know if I could still hold my own on Stargate / Defender. I used to be pretty good at that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay.
And just for giggles, I'm going to go ahead. Does it have to be old school, like arcade style?
No, no. It could be anything. Oh. Console, anything.
Dude, Tekken. Yep, Tekken 2.
Really? Yeah. Tekken?
Impressive. Tekken 2.
Who is your player of choice?
Well, when...
I was the tiger guy.
My roommate...
I was king, and I was getting my ass
that game. That was awful.
My roommate in Albuquerque and I, Aaron Buck Naked Burnett, he was a strip club DJ. Excuse me, jiggly room DJ. He didn't like the term strip club. He and I would get all gacked out of our minds and sit up all night playing Tekken. You like this story, Dan O'Brien? This is good for the kids if they're in the car going to school.
Yeah. It's vacation week.
You know, in Albuquerque, yeah. It comes straight up from Juarez. It's really good quality stuff. You go up to the bar, and it's like, you know, you blow a few rails. Next thing you know, you're up all night. What are you going to do? You're going to chain smoke Winston's and play Tekken 2. So,
who wouldn't?
We had a rule where you were not able to use Devil or Angel.
Oh, all right.
Were they too good?
Well, you could rise them up and shoot the laser beams right? out of their eyes,
sure.
Which is also a little scary when you're up for 2 days straight.
Right.
I want the lasers, man.
Tripping balls, or, you know, high as a kite. You don't want to see that. It's a little too real.
I
can't believe you left that life behind.
Just to mess with them, I would use Kuma. I would use one of the bears because they seem really slow.
Sure.
I liked PJ. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Martial law. Martial law would be my give me. Martial law, I'll take him and I'll beat most people.
Okay,
at Tekken 2.
Okay,
I'm also going to need an 8-ball.
Right.
Do they test? Like a carton of Marlboro Lights and just put the bottle of Jaeger in the freezer and I'll nip at it occasionally throughout the night.
Do they test the Overwatch League for performance?
Are we
drugs?
On the air?
Are you sure
yes.
they're not on speedballs?
Yes, they do.
That's right. those were the days, weren't they?
My God.
That's some high living, let me tell you.
That's awesome. That is unbelievable. So it says, well, essentially the equivalent of that is Mountain Dew and Doritos. How many can 50K get you?
That's right.
The Adderall. It's the same thing. These kids are crushing up and snorting Adderall. It's just, medically approved. It's still blow.
It is?
And by the way,
I
asked a second ago, I was like, what would it sound like? And I wasn't doing that to set this up. But I realized we've done this before. What would it sound like for a radio broadcast of a video game thing? Remember Gosher?
Here we are in World 1-1, a plumber just looking for a warm zone, fighting some dragons, and eating some mushrooms. Why not? Look at this financial windfall. Coins, coins, coins for everybody. And for some inexplicable reason, he's able to pick a flower which lets him shoot fireballs. Sorry to break it to you, plumber guy, but your princess is in another castle.
Oh,
Dave,
I forgot about that.
Gone?
I forgot about Kosher plays video games.
That's fantastic.
All right. Do we need to bring the console out today? Do we need to have somebody get an emergency NES in here or like maybe like an
N64? I don't know. Hardy's sober. I don't know if we can do that.
No interest. But you guys have to answer, too. What games would you win at?
Oh, okay. We will do that right after this CBS Sports Minute because I have to think about that one.
I know. I have an answer.
Yeah, okay. I, too, like you, had a period of my life where I stayed up super late. Now, it was, unfortunately, Boone's Farm Wine. You know, the crappy stuff that made you vomit. It was not. not anything close to the high quality product you used. But we'll do that in just a minute. You know, you need sometimes a guy with a little bit of attitude.
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
One radio station. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
So the matchup tonight, USA against Poland on speed level 4. Your starting lineup for the U.S., a fat guy, a medium-sized guy, and a smaller-sized guy. Here we go. And we're underway. The U.S. taking on Poland, who has 4 really small guys, which makes them really quick and really pisses me off. Face off in the right wing circle between the fat guy and the small guy. The small guy's skating around like rabbits out there, nearly impossible to catch. What is going on here? I can't tell if they're fighting or there's a glitch in the game. This is no Blades of Steel. And fat guy scores! What a goal by fat guy to give the U.S. the lead!
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
It is, of course, the great Dave Gosher doing the play-by-play of...
Oh, what was the name of that game?
Where he just chose a fat guy, a skinny guy, or a middle guy. One of the first hockey games. One of the first... I don't think Atari ever had like a... Because that was NES.
No, Atari never had a good. No. I had the Atari. No, Atari never had a good
ice hockey.
Game.
Yeah. Straight up ice hockey.
Ice hockey.
NES, which was... Boy, the amount of hours I clocked on that one.
So like,
what
is your game?
Okay.
Because nothing happened last night, so we'll keep it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. What is your game?
Okay, so like Leg for Death, if I had to like beat 3 people or I would die, random people on the street, and I wouldn't do very well. There was a period of my life where it was about a year and a half, 2 nights a week, I would go to my dumb buddies down the hall and we would sit up all night and play Mortal Kombat 2 was one, but that's not the game. The one that I was actually pretty good at was Mario Kart on the Nintendo 64. The N64 was one
interesting
that I could crush.
Because Marshall Hook just texted me and said I would crush anybody at Mario Kart.
Which one? Because there's so many of them.
I guess the original.
Was the first one the Super Nintendo?
I have no idea.
Because the N64 one's the best. And I think anybody will agree that one is the all-time greatest. Is the N64 one. I could thread that damn needle, the tunnel in the middle of the sand hill, every single time. Every time. I probably suck now, but Mario Kart was probably the one.
All right. You just reminded me of Off-Road. Off-Road was my other game.
Off-Road? I remember the name of it. I don't remember anything about it. That's not RC Pro-Am, is it?
No, it was like the kind of monster truck things. They're like the off-road trucks on the course, and you have to pick up the nitros.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot like RC Pro-Am. I know a guy, it's the same guy who could do RC Pro-Am, like, until it's just stopped. Like, I mean, he would go so fast, and he would, you know how, like, each board would get faster and faster? Yeah. He would get to, like, board 99 and just have to quit because he was done with it.
Yeah.
But he had a trick finger, and so on track and field, remember that game where you just, like, nailed the A button, and he would kill it. Every single game, he would like get the maximum score on everything on track and field. I don't know how he did it. He was like double jointed or something like that, which probably served him very well later on in life. But the dude could just crush it on that game because he had this freak finger.
All right. So you had Mario Kart.
Mario Kart 64. N64 right. Is probably the one.
Mine was, you know, you guys have talked about Punch-Out, the Nintendo Punch-Out. I ruled at the original stand-up video game.
Telling me that you could go to the arcade right now with the original Punch-Out, and you could actually...
I could win the title, no problem.
Wow! That is BS. Absolutely.
No
that
problem.
Is, that
Glass
is a
Joe,
load.
Glass Joe, Piston Hurricane, Bald Bull, Kid Quick, where you only hit him with rights. You had Pizza Pasta, who was the...
it's a land of stereotypes.
Yeah. Pizza Pasta, who would always get you in a clinch, and
Pizza
as soon
Pasta,
as...
he was an Italian guy.
Very Primo Carnero.
I'm not kidding you. Like that
Pizza
game was
Pasta,
like,
it's true. Yeah. He would always get you in a clinch, and if he got you in a clinch, all you'd have to do was back up when he broke from the clinch. You could knock him out, no problem.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Sandman. Well, all you had to do was avoid the right hook, and you were fine.
Okay, did you ever beat Vodka Drunkinsky, which
was
the Russian guy?
No, that was Super Punch-Out. That was Super Punch-Out.
Okay.
And Super Punch-Out had Bear Hugger, Vodka Drasinski, Dragon Chan.
Super Macho Man.
Super
Ball
Macho
Bull.
Man was the title. No, I don't think Balbo was in it. I think he was replaced by Great Tiger.
Yeah.
I'm not messing with Wallach on this.
Great Tiger was Super Punch Out. But I could go to a stand-up video game, if they programmed it the same way, stand-up video game, and win the title at Punch Out.
Could you do it on the NES?
No.
You couldn't do Tyson's Punch Out?
I could not do that. I could not do that.
You see, because I thought I was a badass on Tyson's Punch-Out, because years ago I used to play that, and yes. I got that little console that came out with all the prepackaged games, and I got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
But man, even then, it was like, you know, the world of stereotypes. It was amazing, some of the ones. They took out Tyson in the new one.
Oh, okay.
And now it's like Mr. Dream.
Well, he's super macho man, basically.
We did an interview an interview with Mike Tyson, boy, it was probably like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I talked to him about that, and I asked him, I was like, okay, Madden has made more money because of his video games than he ever did broadcasting. I mean, it's like it's an empire. These guys like Tony Hawk from the Tony Hawk skater stuff.
Right.
I mean, just the shit you make if your name is on a video game and it's successful.
Yep.
I mean, it's an insane amount of cash that you get. I asked him. I said, "How much money did you make off of Mike Tyson's Punch Out?"
$50,000.
You nailed it. He made $50,000 because he just signed away. Someone's like, "Hey, we want to put you in a video game." He's like, "Well, what are you going to pay me?" And he goes, "Well," and he goes, "just give me money now."
$50,000.
So they gave him $50,000, and it ended up being one of the highest selling video games of its generation.
Yeah,
and he made like nothing. Like less than like a couple pennies per copy that was
even
sold.
In that era, he should have been paid millions.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. without a doubt. So he got screwed on that one, but. I want to see. I want to put Wallach up to the test. I want to see if he can actually still do that. Because I guarantee you, within 5 minutes, you'd be dead.
So you need a stand up.
You're getting knocked out.
You need a stand up. That sucks.
A stand up. That's what I was good at. I stunk on the NES. I did. I was horrible. I couldn't get by.
Well, because it came out when you were 60.
It was King Hippo, right? King Hippo.
That's right. Yeah,
for some reason, I couldn't beat King Hippo.
There's a couple places in town that have old school video game stand ups. There's one. I think there's one in. I want to say Lexington now.
Really?
Maybe not Lexington. Well, I mean, unless you want to head up to Weir's Beach, but go to Fun Stop.
I'm not going to Weir's Beach.
Fun Spot's the best, man. After I saw The King of Kong, I went there. And like I was like, for the first time in my life, you know, because you went there when you were a kid and you didn't have any money. So I was like, I'm going to stay there all day. Because now I don't have to worry about asking my parents for quarters or anything like that. I busted out a 20. Played for about 30 minutes and was done.
Tapper. I remember Tapper.
God, this game kind of sucks. This game's kind of lame. Wow, they have Krull. Who's got Krull? Well, now I know why no one played Krull because it sucks.
Oh my God, Tempest. Still can't play this game. Damn it.
Dragon's Lair. It was a cartoon video. I'm dead. You know, it's like within 2 seconds when you're going, I'm dead.
Yeah, do you remember how much that game cost, too, when you went to play Dragon's Lair?
50 cents. It was the first video game that I ever remember to ask for, like, 2 quarters. Like, before that, everything was quarter. Everything.
Right.
And there was a line. That's why when Stranger Things came out, and I saw them, the very first scene of the second season, like, they're looking for quarters all over the place. And I turned to my wife, and I said, I guarantee you they're going to play Dragon's Lair. Because it was the only video game that everyone knew the day it was coming out because they ran ads on TV. And I couldn't wait to get to, like, showbiz. Like, oh, my God, a cartoon video game. And there was a line. And then when you got there, 50 cents.
Oh.
Yeah. 50 cents, and you're not going to – I mean, you might beat it, but it's not because of any video game skill.
Yeah.
Because it was just – hit the thing at the right time to make the cartoon continue.
Yeah, you're right. And like, even if it was infuriating.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone ever beat that game. All right, so there's that for the morning. So we will get to everything that happened with sports.
Oh, that too.
Believe it or not, there were a couple of things that were fairly interesting that happened yesterday, and so much more right after John Wallach's headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Admit it. Toucher. It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Toucher and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Wall got excited all of a sudden.
Yeah, third base.
A little third base.
Yeah.
It's the first band that proved that you could be a goofy-looking white guy and actually start a rap band.
Pop Goes the Weasel.
That's right.
Wasn't MC Search still working here? He's at a bar somewhere.
You looped it.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. Did they have a follow-up hit, third base?
Yeah, there was Step Into the AM and then this one.
Yeah, I don't think that was a hit. This was the only hit, right?
I thought Step Into the AM wasn't a hit.
Who were they trying to start a beef with in this video?
Vanilla Ice.
Oh, wow. That was a tough target.
Great trivia. Who plays Vanilla Ice in the video for third base? Pop Goes the Weasel.
I have no idea.
Nope. Henry Rollins.
Whoa. Really?
How about that?
Why did he agree to that?
Don't know.
Okay. Very straight. By the way, one of the all-time great movie scenes Heat, which, by the way, is a fine movie. I think people like blow it up to be a lot better than it actually was. But there was one scene that, in the theater, I actually cackled laughing. And that is, Henry Rollins is a pretty big guy. We know this. And he's working for, I forget whatever bad guy it is. But there's a scene where Al Pacino, all 5-0 of him, runs in, picks up Henry Rollins and throws him into a wall.
I think he throws him through the glass sliding door in the hotel room.
I was in the theater, like the only one cackling laughing. Like I was inconsolable. I was laughing so hard.
You're right. That movie is not as good as we all want it to be.
That's right. Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
The shootout scene is amazing.
It's Michael Mann.
It's Michael Mann. And I like Michael Mann a lot. But
pretty much, if it's Michael Mann, I'm in. To the point where Miami Vice, which nobody like knows or cares about.
It's fine. That's
every time it's on, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Last Michael Mann.
Last of the Mohicans is still his best. Last of the Mohicans is like one of the that might be a top 20.
The
movie
Miami Vice TV show or the movie?
The movie. The movie's like legitimately good.
I didn't like it. I didn't like the movie. Well, the movie went on and on and on. I did not like it.
What's the one with Collateral?
That was good. That's Collateral was good.
Like that was a sneaky great movie. When that's on, that's another one you sit and you watch the entire thing.
I don't know how many he did with Al Pacino, but The Insider.
Great movie. Mm-hmm.
That is.
Which, who would have thought a movie about just like bringing down the cigarette corporation would have been.
It's not even so much that. It's about a 60 Minutes piece and Russell Crowe playing a scientist at a tobacco company. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that is really, really, really good. I pissed off Michael Mann one time.
You did?
It's one of the few times like I actually like really pissed off a guy.
What'd you do?
So I went to a press junket for the movie Collateral. Like it was one of those things where I worked on this show that they just back in the day, they used to send like DJs and stuff everywhere. So we went out to LA and it was my wife and I, and we got to interview the cast of Collateral. And I've told you the Tom Cruise story. He's like the only person who they've ever made me sign anything that said that in no way, shape or form could we edit or delete anything that he said or manipulate his words.
Oh no.
So that was strange. That's a story for a different time. But my wife at that, when we went out there, was working for Turner Television, and her job was to be one of the people who watches all the TV and movies that come on television and write down all of the bad words and all of the sex and all of the things that you can't put on TV and then send it back to the studio and say, all right, if you want to air it on TV, you got to change this. Give us an edit that makes it work. And so I walk into Michael Mann, and my wife's with me, and we sit down and I go, hey, Michael, I say, hey, what is your opinion of the people who have to tell you what to edit out of your movies? And he goes, they're the scum of the earth. They're the worst human beings on the planet. They try to take your art and they try to manipulate it. And I said to him, I said, well, unfortunately, my wife right here, she's one of those people. And just he was like, oh, well, I guess they have a job to do. And I got a call from the publicist like later on that afternoon who was like, said that I guess that he was BS about the entire thing. And it was kind of a dick move. But I probably shouldn't have done that. But either way, like set it up that way. It's like, oh, yeah, it's my wife. Like the minute he went off, I probably just should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. Like, Don't tell him.
And he was smiling. He was like, yeah, they're the worst. And he was like, just pile it on. And I went, yeah, it's my wife.
Remember how you said yesterday he was sneaky?
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
Remember how you said
sneaky untrustworthy?
Sneaky untrustworthy. Right there.
I will 1,000% agree with you on that. But I also relished the uncomfortable moment.
Of course you did.
See how he would react, and he went that way. So either way.
The first movie that featured any kind of Hannibal Lecter, anything of that Thomas Harris novel series, Michael Mann movie, Manhunter.
I never saw Manhunter, and I heard it's great.
Look, I'm not saying this just to be, you know, Johnny Contrarian. Who's the guy who played Wallach? Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. I think the actor's name is Brian Cox, who plays Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, he was in Super Troopers. Yeah, he was the old sheriff in Super Troopers. Yeah. He's been in a ton of. He was in Braveheart.
So much scarier than Anthony Hopkins. Like so much better.
Saying a lot. Hopkins is good.
Watch Manhunter, and some of it's going to be a little dated now. It's very Miami Vice-ish,
you know,
kind of slick detective stuff.
Sure, sure.
But the movie holds up, for the most part. And Brian Cox is Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
That's the one.
All right, well,
that's the one.
Well, I will have to see that one, so I'll put that on the list. All right. So after reports that tomorrow reports that came out yesterday that it was going to be the big day the Red Sox would roll out J.D. Martinez to the public for his big Meet the World press conference. We instead got confused tweets by beat writers asking, hey, where the hell is J.D. Martinez and why isn't this happening? I mean, you could feel Dan Shaughnessy's fro getting all busheled up, ready to pen a brand new piece. What's wrong with J.D. Martinez? Setting the Red Sox world ablaze, I'm sure, with his fiery red locks. But history shows us that this is more than likely not that big of a deal. And the beat reporters were quick to tell us that, too. Evan Drellick of our own NBCSN Boston said that you have to consider David Price was reported to have agreed to terms on December 1st and was introduced on December 4th. Carl Crawford had 2 days in between news getting out in a presser, December 8th and December 10th. Now, it has been just 2 days. I just found it funny that there were some people in town, some radio people, who were saying, oh, yeah, he's already passed the physical. Everything's cool. And now he has not passed the physical. There's been no indication that he has passed said physical yet.
I just don't understand. If it's a few hours, fine. If it's a day, it's 2 days now, right?
Yeah.
This is the second day.
Yeah.
This was all supposed to happen on Wednesday. So now we're at Friday. The physical's been done. I don't care. Like,
Has the physical been done? Do we know that? I don't think we do.
Apparently, there's some stuff that had to be looked at in Boston and then sent back to Florida. But regardless, it should be done. This is not difficult.
What technology are they lacking that won't allow a doctor in Boston to review medical forms, records, x-rays, whatever it is? A couple hours after they happen.
You'd probably be surprised. I mean, Fort Myers, I don't think, has the type of equipment you need to
I don't care if you have a horse. It should have been done by now.
Well, sure, because did they technically announce, or did they actually announce that there was going to be a press conference yesterday, or was that just speculated by the media that there was going to be
one? It was expected that they had a press conference yesterday.
Okay, so there was no announcement?
It doesn't matter. 2 days after you sign the guy, you should have... Obviously, the Red Sox are looking at something they're not comfortable with.
I think it's going to be
gotta be something there. I'm not saying this is gonna, you know, scuttle the whole deal, but obviously there's something there. Otherwise, we would have all been introduced to this guy by now, right?
I just think it's a situation.
It's unusual. Carl Crawford was sick, by the way. That's the reason his whole thing was postponed. So I mean, there's something going on. Mm. There's something there.
I just think it's a situation where they needed a specific doctor that was from Boston to get his opinion. You got to fly down there. That takes a little bit, and then it's a pain in the ass.
Actually physically examine him?
No way of transporting that electronically. No way of transporting x-rays or MRIs electronically.
If I'm spending over $100 million on a guy, I probably want my doctor there.
I agree, but I don't know that they do it that way. I think they
maybe
have. I think they have doctors in, and maybe they're on vacation. Fine, whatever. Are they unreachable? I mean, they knew this
was coming too. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean,
are they in the rainforest? Are they? Are they completely?
When you get to that strange
level of job, it's like I can be contacted pretty much 24 hours a day. Yeah. I'm going to need a couple hours of your time.
It was weird because it was almost as if everyone down there had gotten talking points as to why not to freak out, because it was just almost the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the company line. No, don't worry. This has happened before, blah, blah, blah. And to that, I mean, the stuff that they cited, it makes a little bit of sense. And in the end, I mean, more than likely, you're probably going to hear from him today. Now, if they don't announce him today, I do believe you got a massive issue. Like, I mean, if they don't announce him by today, how much time do you really need?
This is my question. After 2 days, how much time do you really need? What's the difference between 2 and 3?
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing if, like, he didn't pass the physical? If after all of this...
He apparently last season he had a Liz Frank issue, a tendon.
I know, and that was that's kind of been underplayed. But
apparently that would be... And Red Sox are taking their extra time, taking a look at it, I would imagine.
Sounds so cute and minor. Just an issue. Just a Liz Frank issue.
Yeah.
It's named Liz. You know, have you ever met a mean Liz?
How bad can it be?
How bad can a Liz be?
So there's something there.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, as soon as we hear anything, we'll let you know. Even though yesterday there were all these false reports being thrown out there that he had passed his physical already, which was great. Everyone wants to be first. No one wants to be right. It's kind of infuriating.
Have you not observed media in the last 3 or 4 years?
And people always end up smelling like roses when they do something like that.
But I understand, because whoever has it first is important to nobody except the person who has it first. It's not even important to the other reporters.
Right. They don't care.
They really don't. Unless it's me, I don't care who had it. Who cares? Everybody's got it now. You move on.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.